friends. Welcome in to the Buffer Podcast as we head into Labor Day weekend. And I know that we shouldn't in podcasts, like, you know, reference dates because you could be listening to this in the future when we're all dead, but I'm going to get a little selfish. Labor Day weekend is my birthday weekend, and this stay with me, guys. Special guest Mike Bridenstine is here as well. This Sunday, because Mike will appreciate this, this Sunday, September 5th, my wife and I will be going to the Chicago Cubs game. We have two tickets in the Maker's Mark Barrel Room. I don't even know what it is. It's really fancy. Free drinks, free food, first base line. Not sure who's on the Cubs because they traded everybody, but we're going, and I'm curious to see, to quote my dad, how much the Uber ride is going to cost from over by there to down over there. So that's my intro for this week's episode of The Buffer, because we're going to talk about our favorite sports movies.
That aren't baseball. Not baseball movies, though.
They're not baseball. That's why I wanted to get my baseball reference out of the way. But we are very happy to be joined by our friend and comedian and podcast guru, Mike Bridenstine, who hosts Hunk with Mike Bridenstine, to talk about our sports movie Mount Rushmore. And Mike, it's interesting because you were here a couple months ago. We talked about baseball movies with J.D. Shulton.
Yes.
But it'd be really hard to not include any baseball movies. It was hard for me, that's for sure.
Well, we're going to do it. Thank you for having me back. I feel like I just saw you guys, so this will be fun. I feel good about it.
Joel, did you have struggles as you thought about... I mean, you're definitely... Both of you are big... I would say bigger sports fans than I am, maybe, what, you know, much better versed or well versed on topics. Did
hold on though. It's sometimes being a big sports fan ruins movies.
100%. It makes it really harder to evaluate sports movies. I'm just going to get this out now. No, wait, I'll save it. Never mind. Sometimes it's hard. The biggest thing is there's so many different things you could classify as a sport. I mean, you could have combat sports. You could have racing, you know, whether it be cycling, whether it be track and field, whether it be NASCAR, Formula One. There's been some really good movies made on all of those things. Cheerleading. There's lots of movies that you could deem a sports movie. And it's going to be hard, I think, to pare this thing down, really, when it gets down to it. So I think our honorable mentions are going to be impressive as well.
Here's a movie of my baseball knowledge ruined. Straight Out of Compton, when it says Compton, 1988, and Eazy-E shows up in a 1991 White Sox hat, and my brain just went, no!
Oh, that's so good. That's just an amazing take.
That the entire plot of the movie Rudy is wrong and not really true. So,
yeah, didn't they ask Joe Montana, who was on the team, about that guy? And they're like, we hoisted him up sarcastically.
Yeah, nobody liked him. Like, Mike Golick's brother, older brother, was also on it, and he used to love to go off. And I hate Notre Dame. I am a Catholic who hates Notre Dame. I love Boston College. I'm all about the Jesuits.
You hate Irish people.
No. My grandmother Cullinan, her maiden name was Cullinan, very Irish Catholic. I really just don't like programs that send videographers to their death in a scissor lift. So Brian Kelly's murderer, and I will die on that hill. So
Jesus, welcome to this week's episode of The Buffer. Joel goes in on Notre Dame and Rudy and scissor lifts. Wow. Okay. So
scissor lifts.
The goal is to assemble the best sports movies, not including baseball movies or Rudy for that reason, I guess. I also don't want to see Joel, because Joel might be the guy that's like, I'm going to suggest that Seabiscuit was really good. And not that it wasn't, it was fine. And my cousin's
more of
company,
a secretariat man myself,
did the inflatable crowds because that's his business, which is really cool. But yeah, do you have any horse racing movies? Do either of you have horse racing movies on this list?
Didn't make the cut for me.
No.
Okay,
no,
that's good. Because again, I mean, like, to Joel's point, there are a lot of different sports that have been
covered.
Did
Bring It On make anybody's list?
It's Absolutely. Already been brought. I do have a non-traditional sport movie in my selection.
So, Joel, are we going to go around and go 3-2-1? Is that the plan?
Yeah, 3-2-1.
So, I would like our guest, Mike Bridenstine, Hunk with Mike Bridenstine, a great podcast that you should check out. I would like you to start, Mike, with your number three sports movie Mount Rushmore selection.
Okay, you might be mad about this one, or say this is not a sport, or say this is not a movie, but it is a documentary about video games called King of Kong.
It's on my honorable mentions. I was going to lobby for this too.
It is one of my absolute favorite movies of all time. It's about a guy who's going after the Donkey Kong world record. My good friend, friend of your show, I'm sure, Chris Engstad, he had a Donkey Kong game in his basement.
Played it many times.
A place I was at like multiple times growing up. It's an impossibly hard game. One of the best villains of all time, this guy Billy Mitchell. It's just an excellent, excellent documentary. And if you haven't seen it, I would tell you to put that on top of whatever list of movies
Isn't there like a Tulma, Iowa tie to that? It's been a while since I've seen it.
Absolutely. The main place where all the records were held and the place where all of the best video game players in the world went was, I can't think of the name of the place, but it was in Ottumwa, Iowa. I did ask Tom Arnold if he went to that place growing up, and he said that he absolutely did. There is even another documentary about that place called Chasing Ghosts, which is another. Yes.
I've seen that. Yep.
Yeah.
That is, wow, that's a hell of a choice. I've absolutely seen that, and I will not argue about having that on the list. That's good for you. That's why you're here, Mike. You bringing suggestions like that. And Joel is right there with you too. I mean, I know this isn't a visual medium for people listening, but like Joel was all in. So yeah, good choice. The King of Kong, was that what it was?
Right? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So it wasn't searching for Bobby Fischer. It was the King of Kong.
Yes. Okay. Correct.
Searching for Bobby Fischer is an underrated movie. It's pretty good. I don't know that it qualifies as a sports movie, though.
You should check out that show on Netflix where she does drugs and then learns chess from it.
Oh, The Queen's Gambit? My wife watched every episode. I watched none.
She does drugs and gets the best at chess.
That's usually how it goes, isn't it?
I think so.
Joel, what's your number three?
My number three, I toiled. I'm gonna call an audible. I'm gonna abandon my friends Steve Entman, Bruce Smith, Emmett Smith, and Tim Brown, and I'm gonna bump Little Giants off my list. I had it. I'm just having a change of heart because I need this movie. I need it injected into my veins. It is about ultimate fighting. It's the story of two brothers who are just hard on their luck, who just need to go. Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy, fantastic performances. The movie Warrior, I will watch it anytime it is on. It makes me cry. It makes me jump for joy. I can't leave this movie off the list. Warrior is my number three.
So many guys I know saw Tom Hardy's body in Warrior and were like, I gotta start working out. He has a really hot body. Just aesthetically speaking, if it's like if I lifted weights and like sometimes when I flex in the mirror, that is how I feel like I look. Or how I wish that I looked.
But Nick Nolte's performance in the movie, like it's just I'm a sucker for that kind of combat sport, and another combat sport movie is on my list as well, interestingly enough.
But he's not a sucker for cornrows and manicured toes.
Oh, can we go back to just making fun of me for musicals?
Well, he. In fairness, Nelly says manicured toes.
Fair.
He absolutely said that.
Could have said pedicured toes.
Mike, I want to take you to the show in East Moline that's like Juvenile, and I can't remember who else is on it. There's like, it's this amazing like 90s 2000 rap show that's coming to the Rust Belt in East Moline, shameless plug. And wow. It just looks like it's going to be, it's Genuine, Juvenile, and Chingy on the Back It Up tour.
Okay, so
that's like my freshman year of college right there.
You're going to hear Pony live?
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, Juvenile, I had that album my freshman year of college. When I first heard the song Ha, I said, what is this? This is the worst thing I've ever heard. But then I bought the CD. Yeah, that's good. I don't remember what Chingy does, if I'm being honest.
Wasn't it Hotel, Motel, Holiday Inn?
Wasn't he, and then he but had didn't that. He have Back That Ass Up?
No, Chingy
that's
is
Juvenile.
That's okay. Sugar.
Sorry.
Hotel Motel, Rapper's Delight is Sugar Hill Gang from 1979.
But I thought he quotes that in one of his songs. He also had that one about, oh, Right There. I like the way you do it.
Sorry. Yep, I confused it.
And then he had Holiday Inn, which he does reference Sugar Hill Gang, and I believe the Holiday Inn. We at the Holiday. Anyways.
Chingy did Right There. Yes. That was like 2003-ish. Okay. Don't care.
So back to Warrior.
You were right. It is 2003. That's outstanding.
I know. I knew where I was when I had the mix CD with Right There on it. So, yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. Go back to Warrior,
Joel. You can't jump out. You have to jump out of your seat when he just walks in and with one punch knocks out that UFC champ. Like, it's just... And it's such a shameless plug for Strikeforce. Is it Strikeforce who's the other was trying to compete with Dana White's organization at the time? The only thing that hasn't aged well is that I believe the main event are at Trump Tower Hotel in Atlantic City, which I'm not sure is even in existence anymore. And
No.
But Warrior, that's my number three.
That's pretty good. I also haven't seen it, let the record state. I'm okay with admitting that because it's fine. Tom Hardy is probably big like he was in Batman.
Yeah, but Joel Edgerton, who I know you've interviewed, Joel, haven't you? And great performance.
Everyone named Joel is a good dude.
No, he's a high school, plays a high school science teacher who's a fighter and a wrestler. And he needs money because he's upside down on his mortgage because of the housing crisis. And he's got to try to win this fight. And long story short, championship match, brother versus brother.
Spoiler alert. Thanks a lot, Joel.
It was in the trailer. It was pretty clear what was going to happen.
Die in the ring at the end. My number three sports movie is the time Pat Miletich punched me in the back at Shenanigans Pub in downtown Davenport. No, that's not what it is, but I have a lot of fun.
Why are you not dead?
Well, he was, it was late and we were friends and it was like a joking punch, but like, I don't think if you're Pat Miletich, you should ever like jokingly punch people. It's like when people used to go up to Tim Sylvia at the bars in downtown Davenport and he was like 6'11". I have a lot of weird fighting stories. My choice for number three is The Wrestler. Speaking of people you don't want to fight, ooh, is Mickey Rourke, who had a reemergence with The Wrestler. And I would say I've been a pretty, now not maybe, there's been periods in my life where I haven't watched wrestling as much. I'm kind of in one of those right now, but I've gone to a lot of house shows and Raw and SmackDowns.
Tony. And,
yes.
CM Punk came back.
I did see that clip and it gave me chills, if I'm being honest. I had friends that were there that had the wrapper of the ice cream bar.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Joel's going to step out to Google his favorite Chingy song right now. But no, Mike, I'm with you. Like, I know that you're a big wrestling fan.
Well, I hadn't watched in so long, and
yeah,
I was on a different podcast. They were like, what would bring you back? And I was like, well, I kind of lost interest when Punk left, when Daniel Bryan, like when they buried him after, like, and then people were like, CM Punk's coming back to AEW and so is Daniel Bryan. And CM Punk this week cut a promo and the whole crowd started doing the yes thing, the Daniel Bryan thing. And they're in Milwaukee. He does the thing at the United Center, which when he comes out, but they do the yes thing in Milwaukee. And you know the yes thing. Sports teams have done the yes thing. But and then he goes, that's someone else's shtick, and you got to be just a little more patient. And they go, wow. Dang, it was great. It's and they're great matches. Colt Cabana, a friend of mine, is in it. Ryan Nemeth, a friend of mine, is in it. It's a lot of great wrestlers for adults. Like, if you like work rate and that sort of stuff, it's. I think you should get into AEW, hashtag not sponsored.
Yes, I think, and I, it's been my plan. Like I said, I've enjoyed watching wrestling. I remember when The Wrestler, the movie came out in 08 and feeling like, you know, and I also didn't maybe really appreciate Mickey Rourke, although I don't think he'd been around, right? Like that really, Darren Aronofsky really kind of put him in that. He took a chance because I don't think anybody was hiring Mickey Rourke to do anything. And it really showed like, I've been to some pretty small shows. Like there's Scott County Wrestling, SCW local where we are, which has birthed Seth Rollins, Kobe Black, Seth Rollins. Yeah. Like they do these shows and you know, sometimes there's 100 people there. Sometimes there's 200 and it's, right. It's crazy. Like there's a guy from Muscatine where I'm taping this with Joel, whose name is Juan. And he like works at Monsanto, but he's also known as Latin Thunder. And he's been like a wrestler for, I don't know, 20 years.
A friend of mine from Muscatine showed me that. They're like, he's like, this is my kid's like little league coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Juan Forno. He's like self-published book and he's like the nicest guy ever. And he gets in the ring. And there's just something about like for people listening, if you haven't seen, because the first time I saw wrestling live, I was all in. Like I think my first experience was a taping or a live broadcast of Raw in Moline, and it was just crazy. Like I had
they do such a really good they do a really good job with those. Like if you ever have a chance to go to a Raw or a WrestleMania or just any pay per view, definitely do it. They do like especially for kids, they do like such a great job.
Yep.
But if you're an adult, like some of those indie shows are worth your time. Like I know that Ring of Honor is around the Midwest there.
Yep.
We had PWG out here and I used to make people who didn't even like wrestling go to it. It's the best live performance of anything I've ever seen, any genre.
100%. I would love to take, because I don't want to assume that Joel hasn't seen any smaller scale or large scale wrestling, but I would love to take like Joel to an SCW show in Walcott.
Oh, hey, one of my buddies was a Plymouth County wrestler in Lamar's, Iowa in college. So I've been to lots of small wrestling shows.
Well, I'm putting The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke as my number three. And I have some, yeah, I have some others that are, we'll see if they make the list or not. Go ahead.
Fun fact, The Wrestler is the number one sports movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
It was like number three on Rolling Stone's list too. I looked at that earlier.
Yeah. Wow, that is nuts. All right, Joel, back to you. Number two.
No, it's back to you. No, it's a snake draft.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so you're sorry. Number two. Me. Oh crap! It's a snake draft. Okay. So this is where I don't want to go cliche, and I'm looking at my list, and boy, all right, I'm just gonna do it. And if I have two from the same sport, so be it. I'm going with Blue Chips. I think I saw Blue Chips at the right time in my life. I'm a huge basketball fan. I played basketball a lot. My oldest son is getting into basketball. Blue Chips came out in 1994. It stars Shaquille O'Neal and Nick Nolte.
Penny Hardaway.
A lot of Nolte.
He's a sports movie icon.
Right. So in 94, when that comes out, I'm 11 years old and I'm loving basketball. So it's Blue Chips and I'm okay with having that on my list.
The Western State University Dolphins.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was my mom
a house and the kid's dad gets the tractor.
It was Neon Boudreaux, Penny Hardaway. What was Penny's name? I can't remember his character's name.
Butch McRae.
McRae, yes.
Come on.
Penny Hardaway landing the number one high school basketball recruit in the country today.
Wow.
As he is the head coach of Memphis University now. And Emony Bates, he's going to not go to the NBA G League and go to Memphis. So, because he can make money now with name, image, and likeness.
Where is Little Penny doing now?
I don't know. Those commercials were great. Penny Hardaway is probably the greatest basketball player who never really hit the top tier.
Yeah, he was the Kobe that never happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was so good. Wow.
That's a hot take. I would agree. He's a very good basketball player. Penny Hardaway is
Shaq,
50 years old. Holy moly.
So I feel like the old man, like my son has 2K21, like the video game. And I'm like, you guys, he's always the Golden State Warriors or he's a Milwaukee Bucks fan. And he was before they won the championship a couple years ago. He started liking them. But I'm like, you guys don't realize how good Allen Iverson was. Like, I was telling our baseball team this summer, I'm like, yeah, Steph's great, but Allen Iverson was 5'11 and was getting to the rim on, like, Akeem Olajuwon and, you know, Alonzo Mourning and all these guys. It's like, I don't think you guys understand how good Allen Iverson was.
You reminded me of, like, when Mr. Engler used to just, like, scream at us about Mickey Mantle and Johnny Unitas.
Fair enough. Still see him walking every morning. He lives like half a block away from where I live.
He was the Pennsylvania state champion in the 100 meter dash like 4 years in a row. And we're like, no way can you beat Eugene Soto. Smoked him on the central track. Smoked him. Cinder, still had it.
Cinder track.
On that cinder track. John Engler smoked Eugene Soto.
Well, let's tell you who would not have smoked Eugene Soto, and that's one of the stars of my number two movie,
Prefontaine.
The Program. Latimer not outrunning Eugene Soto, but he put his head through a window when he got a place at the table. The Program, one of the greatest meathead football movies of all time. There wasn't a single kid who grew up playing football in the 90s who didn't watch that movie and paint skeleton eye black on their face, wear a bandana. I did not ever spit into a teammate's mouth, but I did have a neck roll. Alvin Mack, Steve Latimer, Kane, Joe Kane, the quarterback, Darnell Jefferson, the running back. That was the name of the quarterback, Joe Kane. He was a Heisman Trophy candidate.
His friend, Jerwin.
I never put that together. James Caan as the look the other way head coach. Eastern State University, the Wolfpack.
Not the Dolphins.
No, the Wolfpack. And
so amazing.
It's funny too. Like, you can go back and watch it and see all the South Carolina Gamecock fans, because that's where they did the live shots, was at the University of South Carolina game. Love the movie. It isn't realistic at all. Joe Kane's the worst throwing quarterback in the history of movies.
Are all his throws a little high?
Actually, he had a substance abuse problem. He goes to rehab, if you remember correctly.
His name is Joe Kane. He had no choice.
It was the booze. You know, a father who never appreciated his talent, never showed up to the games. So it's The Program, my number two sports movie.
Solid. I no arguments for me. Mike, what do you got?
Number two, one of my all-time favorite movies, also a documentary, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, 1974, The Rumble in the Jungle, When We Were Kings. It's got Norman Mailer. It's got George Plimpton. It's got footage of Ali. I could watch it. I could just sit down and put this on any weekend I had time. It's fantastic, fantastic, fantastic.
I don't know if you listen to Ryan Russillo's podcast, Mike, ever, but he did two of his episodes last week. He did a two-part series about Muhammad Ali and interviewed Sugar Ray Leonard and a couple other people who are around. It's good podcasting if you've got a minute, since you like that topic so much.
To me, Muhammad Ali, the quintessential American, he just lived a life, you know what I mean? And that fight wasn't, if you don't know what happened, Like, you it's just been, it. It's happened. It happened before I was born. I'm so sorry. They based Rocky III on it, you know, but it's just great, 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 great.
No argument. That's just, it's an unbelievable pick. I was trying to guess what you were going to say when you said documentary, and I would not have guessed that.
So I have a family of men who are not afraid to show emotion. Like, seeing a man cry because they just were moved to tears was not an uncommon thing in my household. My grandfathers, my aunts, uncles, or my uncles, my dad. I will never forget when Muhammad Ali emerges with the Olympic torch in Atlanta to light the torch. The look and the tears streaming down my dad's face. Like, it was just, I didn't realize how important of a figure he was. Cause by the time I really knew who he was just, you know, a old fighter who everyone said was great, but had Parkinson's disease. But that night, that him lighting the torch kind of sparked my interest to go back and really learn about who Muhammad Ali actually was as an athlete.
All right, so since it's a snake draft, Mike, does that mean you get to give us your number one?
Has everybody done their two? Okay, yeah.
Yep.
All right.
1984. A kid moves to Southern California.
Yes!
From New Jersey. He meets his apartment manager. Happens to know a little bit about karate.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
He's getting bullied at school. The guy takes him aside and is like, this is how you do it. I have the soundtrack behind me. I have multiple jokes about it on my album. It's maybe my favorite movie of any genre at any time. Elizabeth Shue looking thick on the beach. The Karate Kid, number one with a bullet. Greatest sports movie all time. One of my favorite movies of all time, The Karate Kid.
I thought about that being your choice earlier today. I was like, there's no way that he's not going to have The Karate Kid.
It's the only reason it's not on my list is because I knew Mike was going to have this on his list.
Are you excited about the next season of Cobra Kai? You have to be, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. The damn pandemic delayed it too
far.
They
came out in January with the season. They did such a good job with the January season. Like, people, like, they got the girl in the tower in the rain. I looked that up. I was like, it is the same actress. You guys are 100%. Paying. It's like Star Wars for me. You know, like, it's, they put in nerd stuff that I cared about.
It's like the ultimate fan service in the fact right. that the quality is there. And then at the same time, they're able to capture this younger audience.
By putting the girl from Jesse as the bad guy, the bad girl.
Yeah. It's really good. And I'm excited for the next season that comes out, hopefully sooner than later. I can't remember, but it's really good.
I think soon it is coming out. I'm a little bit salty. I can't even get an audition. Put me in your show.
Yes. That's what it's missing is you.
I know. That's what I've been saying. It's like,
as like the purse snatcher that just gets beat up by the gang of Cobra Kai.
I do it in a second. I can play fat mall cop. What do you want? Need to make a face? I can make all kinds of faces. He went that way. I can do that line.
Wait, aren't you Daniel LaRusso? Karate chop. You get chopped. All right,
I remember you from the All Valley Tournament.
You sold me a bad car. Joe, what do you have?
I'm going to describe this movie and how important it is to me by the fact that I use this as a monologue from this movie for college theater program auditions, like trying to get into prestigious conservatories on the East Coast coming out of high school, knowing I was a bigger guy, going to get cast more as like an older person in like school productions. I'll read the monologue. It's short. Pele has just scored a goal. I'll set it up that way. And it's a father saying, I'm here sitting alone in my room and I start crying. Yeah, that's right. I start crying because another human being, a species which I happen to belong to, could kick a ball and lift himself and the rest of us sad-assed human beings up to a better place to be, if only for a minute. Let me tell you, kid, it was pretty goddamn glorious. It ain't the 6 minutes. It's what happens in that 6 minutes. Vision Quest, Loudon Swain, going after Shoot. No one wants Shoot. Matthew Modine, I don't know if you can grow up in Iowa with the friends that I had who were big wrestlers. This was every Sunday afternoon. If there was nothing to watch, someone popped in the VHS tape Vision Quest. I love this movie. I love wrestling. I love everything about that sport. I never did it because I sucked, but I just absolutely, absolutely love the movie Vision Quest. And it's an underrated movie, not just a fantastic sports movie. That's my take. 1985. All you need to know is at the end of the trailer, it says, "Do you like Rocky? Did you like Karate Kid? You'll love Vision Quest." That's how the trailer ends.
Is it the same director? Because Rocky and the Karate Kid are the same director.
It's not. It's not the same director. But definitely shares the DNA. And also, I just tried to always use sports movies for my monologues because the nerds who were auditioning me thought it was like diverse and they had never heard of it or seen it. Mm. So it worked.
Cool. It's fantastic. 1985 Vision Quest. Wow. Good choice. Mine is also easy and important. And it's a basketball documentary that and I've shared this story before. So I grew up in Elmwood Park and then Oak Park, Illinois, suburbs of Chicago. We moved from Elmwood Park to Oak Park when I was going into seventh grade. I went to two Catholic schools and very good basketball team at one, went to another school, had a falling out with a coach going into eighth grade, quit the team. My mom's like, "You're playing basketball, you're going to play for the Park District." And I was like, "Okay, mom, fine." So I go, my dad took me, I was lacing up the Air Jordan whatevers that my mom somehow was able to afford, even though she just did home daycare. And
what
I
year?
This is 97. This is probably 97. Do you know the Jordans? Is that what you're about to do?
Yeah, they're probably, yeah.
Go on.
Well.
They were black and red.
I think they were the ones that were the first pair designed after.
Yeah, they're the 11s. They're the white ones with the black patent leather around it.
That's exactly what they were. So I laced those up and I looked over and I told my dad, I was like, "Holy cow, that's Will Gates." And my dad said, "I don't know who that is." And I was like, "That's Will Gates from Hoop Dreams, the documentary." And my dad said, "I don't know who that is." So anyways, Will Gates was my Park District basketball coach and is the star of Hoop Dreams, which is probably the greatest, I don't want to say the greatest sports documentary because Mike's already listed a couple, but in my opinion,
no, it probably is.
It's number one on the Rolling Stone greatest sports movies of all time.
Well,
it's
and I think it should so be. I, it is so it's, good. It's really compelling. And again,
I didn't put that on my list because I knew that Tony would have it on his list.
It's just that story of like the suburban Catholic school, St. Joe's, like poaching players from the inner city and
giving them a better education and a better chance. That's really what they're, I'm just kidding. They're totally
exactly
self-serving.
What Gene Pinkett was all about.
You fooled me on that one.
But like, I don't know, like this came out in 94. Steve James directed it. He also did a Showtime series that was filmed at my high school, Oak Park River Forest, from a couple years ago. That's also
The Interrupters?
I don't think it was The Interrupters.
The Lottery.
I don't think it was The Lottery either. It was called, hold on, let me get it. It was America to Me from 2018. On, I think it was on Showtime, 10 episodes. But like Hoop Dreams, just so much connective tissue, close to where I grew up. I love basketball, I still do. Then the Will Gates experience, he was just so kind and awesome and knowledgeable. And I really fell back in love with basketball because of him. And I haven't rewatched it in a while. And it's because it is very emotional. I mean, there's that scene where Arthur Agee's dad is just gone and he shows up and he's like selling drugs and
he's hanging out with Joe Kane.
He was with Joe Kane. And I will ride or die for Hoop Dreams all day. It's my favorite.
So, Mike, what are some, did you have any that didn't make the list?
I have so many.
How did Hoosiers not come up?
That movie's the most obvious movie. Like, does anybody think that team is, I mean, not good? Anyway.
Well, it's a true story. Charlie Velasco has told us about the actual team because he played against them in high school.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, point of order. Is Big Lebowski a bowling movie?
I have it on my list, Mike, so I'm with you.
So what about Kingpin? Because I had Kingpin on my list.
Okay.
Absolutely.
One of them relates to Tony's pick of the wrestler. Beyond the Mat is a documentary.
Great.
Okay. If you haven't seen it, I think that it's a source material for the wrestler.
Yeah. Yes.
It has to be. It's so good. The rest are documentaries other than I love, love, love I, Tonya. It's like white trash Goodfellas. It's so goddamn good. Dogtown and Z Boys about skateboarding, the history of skateboarding. And then a movie that is so good and so horrifying, I had to pause it and walk away from my living room. Free Solo.
Yeah, so I guess that would technically be a sports movie.
Yeah, I mean, climbing is a sport.
Yeah, El Capitan. My kids were just watching that on Disney Plus the other day.
So those are my honorable mentions.
I stayed away from documentaries just because I have to separate my truth from my entertainment for some reason. I'm weird like that. 8 Seconds, the bull riding movie with Luke Perry.
Luke Perry, okay.
That was close to the list. I did have Bring It On the list. It's kind of a guilty pleasure movie for me. Not trying to be creepy. I just think it's fun. And I don't know.
You know, a good way for people to not think you're creepy is to go not to be creepy right. Before you say something.
Yes. True.
It works every time. It works every time.
That'd be creepy, but would you want to ride in my van? That's
not to be creepy, but I'd like to list parts of your body I enjoy.
Oh my gosh. I feel like Joel's reference of Bring It On is like when my friend's mom was like, hey, do you want to take your sister, my friend's sister, do you want to take her and her friends to see the Britney Spears concert? And we were like, no. And we went and we were 15. No regrets.
I saw Bring It On with my high school show choir. So that's the street cred I have with that movie.
All of the street cred.
The another one that I had, and I referenced it, was, and I should have probably put it on the list, but Little Giants, which is such an important movie to my childhood. I think the way that a lot of people view Rookie of the Year, that's how I view Little Giants. Like, it's my favorite sport. It's my favorite, one of my favorite movies. Steve Entman, unsung great defensive lineman from the University of Washington who just never could stay healthy for the Colts, saying football is 90% mental and 30% physical. I say it every time I'm coaching football, I quote this movie. We had a play when I was the defensive coordinator at Wilton called the annexation of Puerto Rico. It was a special blitz package. And plus you have Ed O'Neill, former Pittsburgh Steeler, coaching against Rick Moranis, which I'm a Rick Moranis stan. I love everything about Rick Moranis.
He had a rough year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. I'm going to rapid fire just a couple that were on my list, and then we're going to assemble Mount Rushmore. So Cool Runnings was a movie that we watched a lot growing up. Had it on VHS. Don't want to brag. Feel the rhythm. Feel the rhyme. Love John Candy. I know we weren't going to do baseball movies, so that's why I didn't include it. But my dad, long story short, my uncle George was an extra in The Babe, which I forgot about from back in the day. The Babe, when John Goodman played The Babe, Babe Ruth. And Draft Day was on my list just because I hate it so much.
I love that movie. I love that.
It was on, I don't know if it was on TNT a lot. It was on one of the cable stations too many times, like Enemy of the State was, and Shawshank, but those are both palatable.
This is the second day in a row Draft Day has come up. I don't know what's happening.
I love the movie. It's a good movie. We're on the cusp of the NFL season. Jennifer Garner's probably somewhere crunching some salary cap numbers, so yeah, it's all good.
And then just two quickies, basketball. White Men Can't Jump, which is still true, and The Air Up There, which is a sleeper that
I thought you'd have He Got Game.
Yeah, Juana Man.
What is Eddie the one when Whoopi Goldberg is the coach of the Knicks?
Yes. What about Eddie? Wildcats when Goldie Hawn is the football coach?
Wow.
The other one is with Tom Cruise, All the Right Moves. That's another sneaky good high school football movie.
Jerry Maguire.
Not a sports movie.
Not a sports movie.
Not a sports 100%. Movie.
Will you tell me what his job is?
He is a talent agent.
Okay. All right, just checking.
Mike, that would be a rom-com, which is a callback to the Free Guy episode from last week.
Yeah.
I'll see myself out. All right, Mount Rushmore, top four, because my laptop is dying. So we didn't really disagree on a lot. Do we have a consensus for an overall number one, or should we go 4-3-2-1? You want to do that?
I think we're in consensus that Hoop Dreams is on it.
So we could put Hoop Dreams at four?
Well, I don't think you're right. I mean, we're not ranking one through four. It's just
here's our top four. Okay, perfect.
Because we all know that Lincoln is better. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. Hoop Dreams is on there. Karate Kid is 100% on there, right? If we want to have Mike back on our little simpleton podcast, Karate Kid is on there as we placate to him. But it's also very good.
It's my favorite movie of all time after Gladiator, which I debated was a sports movie.
Sports movie! Oh my god! Yeah, that Spartacus? Yeah, come on.
Wow, that's... Do you want to redo the whole podcast, Joe?
No, I don't, because I just hold Gladiator in a whole different realm than
Marcus Aurelius.
Is it a sports movie?
I jumped out of my chair when you asked your icebreaker question on your podcast, Mike, to Brooks Whelan, where you said, name a perfect movie, and he said Gladiator. And I was like, hell yeah. Like, I was like
I believe he said Gladiator, done, next question.
Yes. It was when I knew, and he probably loves Vision Quest as much as I do as well. So
you guys, I'm sure, would get along well.
Hoop Dreams, Karate Kid, Vision Quest, and what's the last spot?
Well, are you saying Vision Quest has to be on there? I mean,
I would say that's my number one. If multiple sites have The Wrestler that high, that could go on there. Like, I'm not married to those two documentaries, like King of Kong or When We Were Kings, because they probably shouldn't have I mean, if we're going to have documentary, that probably should go to Hoop Dreams.
Of all the movies that I said, the one that got the strongest positive reaction was from Mike with Warrior. So, I mean,
But the reason was for really weird body purposes.
Okay,
like,
that's fair.
I scared myself a little bit.
With how much you were enamored of Tom Hardy's physique.
Hey, man, anything that makes me the laziest person ever want to work out is a good bod.
In that movie, he physically tears open an armored vehicle. So,
Lord,
I think you're thinking of Bane.
Nope, it's definitely that's why he fled. I don't want to give a spoiler since Tony's not seen it. You need to see
Batman's back.
You need to see it.
They did tear apart a football field in Batman, whatever Batman that is.
They
did. That's true.
Dark Knight Rises.
Okay, so your Mount Rushmore, according to the Buffer podcast, Hoop Dreams, Karate Kid, Vision Quest, The Wrestler. I don't think you could go wrong with any of those. They're all very rewatchable. They've all, a lot of them, withstood the test of time. And not to play to Mike too much, but The Karate Kid is just, I don't know if there's any, have you ever met anybody that doesn't like the original Karate Kid? Because they're probably
It's my generation's Rocky.
I'm married to one. My wife thinks it's the most boring movie ever.
Welcome to the new podcast, Joel Gets Divorced.
No, it's okay.
Wow, she thinks it's boring? There's so much action.
You know,
has she heard your daybed story?
She lived my daybed story, so... We commiserate over the fine cinematic wonders that are Failure to Launch. That's a couples movie that we watch often.
And, tell me one of your wife's favorite movies so I can judge her.
The Father of the Bride is her favorite movie of all time.
So that's a pretty good movie. Yeah.
Right. Father of the Bride, Love and Basketball. When I was still told that we were doing sports movies, she immediately said Love and Basketball.
I'm with you on that. I like that. I didn't think about that one. Wow. All right. So there you have it. We have decided the Mount Rushmore of sports movies just in the nick of time as my laptop gets ready to die. We will be back on the
Buffer. Ready to Die, Joel, is a B.I.G. album.
Yes. Yes. No, Notorious.
You have to have me on, Hunk, as the panelist who knows nothing about hip hop. Just get me on there with David Bory and all of the guys on there who frequently quote hip hop people. And I'll just show my ignorance. And then you can put me on with your show tune friends, and I will show my excellence.
Friend, yeah.
No, he's got people on. There were a couple episodes ago where people were rattling off some Broadway references that Mike looked like a deer in the headlights, and I was like, I'm there. I am right here for it. I know exactly what they're talking about.
I need your help. I'll help you with rap. You come in there and be like, well, actually, I can.
The Buffer Podcast back next week. Hunk with Mike Bridenstine is released weekly, and yep. You can get exclusive access if you become a patron at patreon.com/Brido.
Yeah, it's free on the stuff where you listen to this, but if you want extra stuff, go to patreon.com/Brido. It's not expensive.
You're a saint, and your show's great, and your panel of comedians are very funny, and I just want to give a really quick shout out, because next Friday, September 10th, there's a fundraiser going on for a local Muscatine family who has a son named Riker Cologne, has a lot of health issues. It's taking place at Club 400, which
it's
is
Eddie's this, son, Mike.
Yeah, Eddie Cologne's son. Is Joe Kilgallen doing that?
I was just going to say, Joe Kilgallen is the MC for the event at this guy's house. Wow. That he's turned into the ultimate sports Cubs fanatic basement.
Joe is one of the best comics in the country.
And he's going to be at this guy's house with Ryan Dempster hanging out. So,
yeah, they are friends.
It's crazy. Like, tickets are $150. They're doing a raffle, and it supports a great family. Shout out to Riker Cologne, who is in my son's kindergarten class, and Eddie's oldest son, Aramis, was in my other son's class. So, just wanted to mention that, and Mike's friend Joe Kilgallen.
Yeah, it's one of those small world things where Joe asked me if I knew him, and I said I absolutely did. So.
I played on Heinz USA baseball team with Eddie.
The dynasty that was the Heinz baseball team.
You guys like the sauce, am I right? No? Okay. We're going to get out of here and go get saucy with it. And that's it. That's it. Thanks for listening. I was trying to give a rap reference, but I'm really tired. So thanks for listening to The Buffer. I'm giving Mike time to think of a rap reference. You can check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Anchor.
Is Macklemore a rapper?
Yeah, Macklemore's a rapper.
I know. So
let's end this podcast, Joel.
Jr. in his video.
That's right. Joel, on the count of three, your favorite big timer song. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Shut up.
That's the ending. Yes. That's perfect.
Bye.